Bears acquire Duncan Keith and Tim Soderlund, who had no goals in the AHL season last year in 22 games. So, Chicago gets Duncan Keith and a third-round pick that can become a second if the Oilers make it to the Stanley Cup final next season, and Keith plays top 4 minutes on defense. So there you go. Tom Gazzola joins us. Tommy, what do you make of the deal?
I'm very surprised that there was no salary retained. Obviously, I know there's a lot being made about that. The Oilers clearly feel Duncan Keith can play and still has a lot to provide on the ice and then surely off the ice as well. And in regard to Caleb Jones going the other way, you know, and you talked about the conditional pick as well, but, you know, when I was talking with some people about it, they said you got to give something to get something, and they value Duncan Keith, and they were willing to part ways with Caleb Jones and obviously the pick. So, I think, Greg's, this tells us a few things. It gives us an indicator as to what's going to happen with Klefbom. I know you've touched on it. We've discussed it a bit in the last couple of weeks. And then you got to think that in terms of cap space and all that, if they're taking full pull for Keith, maybe they're ready to make a play on whether it's Koskinen or Neal. We know they want to move on from both of those guys. In what fashion, in what form? TBD, obviously. But maybe if they are taking on the full pull, like I said, this is an indicator that they could be ready to make that next play.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Duncan Keith, in my estimation, is a better player than Caleb Jones, but he's obviously a $4.7 million cap hit higher, and that's the challenge. Now, they're going to play him as a second pair left defenseman, I would think. I think Duncan Keith's going to end up playing 19 to 20 minutes a night for the Edmonton Oilers, and they're going to bank on him having a bounce-back season if he has a regular partner who's a veteran. And that leads me to Adam Larson, who's not to be signed. But now that you have Bear, Nurse, and Keith, like, you can't possibly sign Adam Larson before Saturday, because if you do, then you have to expose one of Bear, Yamamoto, Puljujarvi, or Nugent Hopkins.
Right. So, and that might be another hint that Larson might take a peek around at the market as well. So now it's the whole timing thing that comes into effect, and we knew it would be part of this whole game, but it gets interesting. But now you've got three out of your top four D-men locked up. You know, I know some people don't necessarily like it or love it, and they're being quite vocal about it today, and that's absolutely fine. They're fans of the game, and they have every right to do that. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here. And yeah, if you're an Oilers fan, you're hoping that Adam Larson circles back and decides to stay in Edmonton, like he indicated he wanted to do in the postseason press conference that he had on Garbage Bag Day.
Yeah, this is one where the people that really hate it, there's nothing you can say to change people's opinion until you see the results, and that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. It's results that, you know, there's lots of people who hated the Barry sign and they hated the Smith sign, and those worked out really well. Doesn't mean this one will. Let's make that abundantly clear. So the Oilers, this is one spot. They still got a lot of holes to fill. They still need left wingers. They still need a third line center. They still need a goalie because they don't for sure have Mike Smith. So there's still lots of work to be done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's going to be chips falling. Let's see what happens with Seattle. I know a lot of people, I was talking to some people today that were supposed to be in town for an event, but stayed behind in their respective NHL city because they're anticipating maybe being selected in the expansion draft. So a lot of question marks up in the air right now, Greg's, until we see that expansion draft go down. I think, you know, the speculation is going to run high. We'll have plenty to try to throw out there. Some of it might be far-fetched, but some of it might stick. It's going to be a berserk couple of weeks. That's what I'm anticipating, and I think a lot of chips are going to fall pretty quickly after, obviously, the expansion draft.
I'm curious. There's going to be a few surprise names across the league that, you know, I've... I've done a mock draft myself. I've read, I don't know how many from different people in different markets, because obviously in certain markets, you don't really get a sense unless you're covering the team every day on who they're going to keep or not. And I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. So with Caleb Jones now gone, and let's just assume, Tom, for fun, that Adam Larson isn't signed. So it's obviously going to be 7-3-1 for the Oilers. Klefbom would be exposed. Who do you think the Oilers would lose then? Like, who would Seattle have interest in? Stuart Skinner? Well, although I think if Smith isn't signed, then Stuart Skinner's protected. So I don't even say that, because
that's true.
They're not going to take Koskinen. So, like, who would it be?
Would they take a flyer on Archibald?
No, he's going to be one of the seven.
He's going to be protected, right? Yeah, you're not going to expose him. Oh, I'm looking down the list. You're protecting Yamamoto for sure. It's slim pickings. That's what it is for Seattle coming out of Edmonton. I think that's the case. Would you expose Cassian, Griggs?
No.
Yeah.
No. Who am I exposing Cassian for? To protect Jarr Kayra? Like, no. There's no one worthwhile enough. Now, they could acquire a forward if they want. The problem is Edmonton doesn't have a lot of assets to give up to make deals right now. That's a problem. And, you know, Caleb Jones wasn't as highly sought of as an asset as some people in Edmonton felt. Some fans of the team felt Caleb Jones was, you know, oh, he was so good and he was such a high touted prospect. I just don't think he was. I think he can be a third pairing defenseman. I'm not sure he can be a third pairing defenseman on a cup contending team, though. So, or even a playoff contending team. So we'll kind of see where it goes from there. I'm curious if Chicago, you know, we had Ben Pope on earlier, and he's not sold they're going to even protect him yet, just because, you know, they acquired Riley Stillman, and now they've got Jones, but they've also got Murphy and Zadorov. You know, he thinks that they might just expose Calvin DeHaan, but then they got to expose one of Stillman or Jones as well. So, you know, it's going to be fast because to see who teams expose, who Seattle picks, and then, you know, how many teams, like Ovechkin, we know is going to sign after the deadline, right? I think Ryan Getzlaff and Anaheim's the same thing. I wonder, is Gabriel Landeskog, is Adam Larson, how many others are going to fall in that category of players who sign with their team after expansion?
Right. And I truly don't know how it's going to go. And if they're, like, if we bring it back to Larson, if there really is an appetite for him to test the waters in the market and see if he could maximize his deal, his AAV. And then with that, though, and guys like Larson, you know, you think long term and you sign a deal now where, sure, you know, hypothetically, you make maybe $1 million more than you would have with the team you've been good with and built a rapport with, obviously, over the last few years. Like, what if you do take that extra money? You go to a lesser team. You're in a meddling group for the next X amount of years, and then people forget about you. That's another thing. Like, people forget about you, and then you're just left in hockey obscurity. Whereas if you kind of build a legacy with a team, you stick with it, people respect you, they think of you fondly, and then you start planning ahead to when you're done playing, and you turn that into a fruitful second career, if you will. And I wonder if stuff like that kicks in with some of these guys that are kind of at that turning point of their career, late 20s, getting longer in the tooth. And if that really is something that factors in, if agents are telling them that, because it's one thing to go after the money that's thrown at you right away, but what happens if you just fade away and fizzle out in your forgotten name, as opposed to trying to build something, become reputable, and that turns into an abundance of financial stronghold for 20, 25 more years until you can really retire with a ton of money. It's, you know, I'm not saying Adam Larson specifically, I'm just, with a case like that, I think of guys and I go, I wonder if that's something that comes into effect, if they're really thinking 10, 15 years down the road and taking the money and running with it right now isn't necessarily the right play.
Tom Gazzola joins us at Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, the Elks, all sorts of issues at the tackle position due to injuries and everything else. What do you make? It's early. It's only been a few days of camp, but are you concerned at all about the O-line of the Elks?
Didn't they bring in Thad Coleman again for a third go-round? Let's see how he does. I know he has to go through the quarantine situation. man, this is a scenario that we were kind of hoping didn't happen, especially if you're an Elks fan, if you're a fan of the league in general, with everybody coming back into playing 2 years after basically sitting out. Dropping like flies. That's tough, man. You're going to have to lean on your scouting staff and have guys at the ready, on call almost, that if you're expecting guys to go down with injury, bring them into camp. I know Thad Coleman lives around town, and they're lucky to have him around, and hopefully he can pick up where he left off a couple of years ago. I know he's a little bit older. Greg's, you don't want to see more injuries in general across the board, especially if you're looking at the Double E and the Elks. You want as many guys healthy and ready to go. And I know Darrell Walker's got to sit out a little bit, but that was a family issue where he had to go back home as well. So hopefully he doesn't miss too much and gets back into camp in stride. And by the time we get to the 7th, everything is fine. But a little bit concerning, honestly. And you know, it's not as bad as what we saw with the Riders and the Achilles tendons ripping and bursting and all that. But still very much concerning.
Tommy, have yourself a good one. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Adam and Greg's.